Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's another edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host, as usual, Brian Johnson. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Charch.
It's another rookie recap episode. So we turn our attention to the wide receivers. We've already done quarterbacks. We've done
running backs.
This is wide receivers. Before we do that, just a little NFL news. And this is a pretty dead time of year. And what people may not realize, if you're not really enmeshed with a team and what's happening in front offices and everything, this is outside of the OTAs. This is when everybody takes vacation. Mm-hmm. This is this this stretch of like late May to June. This is like the vacation month, and so there's usually not a lot happening with most front offices. Julio Jones, though, the team's just come out after being for a week. There were reports of the Falcons shopping him. The team has come out and just said, "Yeah, we're listening to offers."
Yeah, I heard the Titans are in the mix.
Boy, would that make sense. That'd make a lot of sense.
You'd think ding A.J. Brown a little bit.
But yeah, A.J. Brown's my number one wide receiver.
Yeah,
and it's in no small part because of the number of targets. There's nobody else to catch a pass there.
It should be A.J. Brown or Davante Adams. We don't have to get in that debate. But yeah, he's certainly in that conversation right there.
And what we don't know about the Packers means to me it's not Davante Adams. In fact, I think I have. No. I just submitted my player rankings for Fantasy Index a couple of days ago, because print magazines go to press soon,
right?
And I think I had Adams 4, just building in some
baking the risk.
Baking in the risk.
Rodgers,
right, exactly.
Yeah, if Rodgers goes,
it changes everything.
The bottom falls out.
I don't think Jordan
Love. Not entirely, but
Jordan Love wasn't even active for most of the games last year, so I have no reason to think he can play. So who knows? It's just too much risk there. I know he's got a first round pedigree, and maybe he'll be great. But man, and I also get the feeling if they thought Jordan Love was great, they'd already moved Aaron Rodgers. If they thought that Jordan Love could play and play well.
Yeah, the Julio on the move, that's intriguing, no matter where he ends up. New England was another one, but we'll
see
what happens.
And so I ranked him, I punished him down to wide receiver, 15, 16, 17. I don't have the rankings in front of me. In that area, just because it, and I realize in totality, before last year, he had ended up playing in 15 out of 16 games most of the time, but it's just year after year, game after game, questionable knee. Questionable hamstring. Just eventually. And, and Julio Jones is going to Hall of Fame. Great player.
Now, where do you put, there's already a lot of love for Calvin Ridley, right? I mean, he's getting drafted before Julio Jones. He's arguably a top five wide receiver, no matter where you put him. Julio leaves. Does he stay the same? Does he go up a little bit? It hurts the offense.
It hurts the offense because they don't. I just think that's just one less weapon, one less guy to help you get first downs, to help draw coverage away, keep coverage honest and away from Calvin Ridley. I don't think it helps Ridley, but I know that's the contrarian take.
And you could ask the same about Kyle Pitts. There's already insane amount of love and adoration for Kyle Pitts. I mean, he's like tight end 4 right now. Would you move him above?
No, I don't know.
The Kittles and the Wallers
is absurd.
It is.
That's too high in redraft. Okay, let's turn our attention to the rookie wide receivers. We're going to talk about, as we frame this up, we're going to talk about the landing spot. How long will it take for this player to be a reliable starter, dynasty value? Let's start with the first player off the board, and that was Ja'Marr Chase going to the Cincinnati Bengals at pick 5.
Yeah, 5th overall to the Bengals. Did not play last year for LSU as a sophomore, though, in 2019. Set the then single-season SEC record for receiving yards and touchdowns. We already know he's an insane player, but he sat out last year. That's kind of like the one rub with Ja'Marr Chase. But he gets reunited with Joe Burrow, his college quarterback.
I kind of love it. I know it shouldn't matter, and I know that it probably doesn't matter, but I love the fact that they already know each other, and they spent so much time together.
And he walks into a, you would call a crowded receiver room with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. right now, we haven't seen Ja'Marr Chase, but you could say that could be the best trio of wide receivers in the NFL.
So it
starting this year.
It could be.
It could be.
The benefactor is Joe Burrow. And I think this is your last chance to buy at a reasonable price on Joe Burrow, who could be sitting on 35 touchdown seasons for a decade.
Yep. Yeah, it's really only a matter of the offensive line in front of him at this point. But he's got the abilities, and his receivers have the abilities. So, Burrow's stock should be on the rise as well. And in terms of, I know we're going to talk about, like you said, empire implications, dynasty implications, but Ja'Marr Chase certainly has redraft best ball value. In fact, he's getting drafted right ahead of T. Higgins and about a round or two ahead of Tyler Boyd. He's right in the wide receiver 25-26 range. We're talking the Brandon Ayuks, Kenny Galladay's, Cooper Kupps of the world.
Yeah.
So
it says a lot.
We're expecting immediate returns on Ja'Marr Chase and in Dynasty Empire. In Superflex, he's still going after the big three quarterbacks at least. But depending on need and just draft strategy, his ADP is 4.5, 5. It's really either are you taking Chase, Pitts, or a running back?
Yeah.
And for years, we always harp in Dynasty Empire, you go for the top wide receiver.
Over
running backs, at least.
I do.
Yeah.
But because Ja'Marr Chase should be, with Joe Burrow as his quarterback, he could be looking at a decade of high-quality quarterbacking throwing to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, there's no running back that you can talk about as having a decade-long run of elite production. Ja'Marr Chase has that.
But for whatever reason,
in him,
people are leaning. We'll remove Pitts from this equation because he's like a unicorn tight end.
He is unicorn
tight end. But some are leaning Najee Harris or even ETN over Ja'Marr Chase, which is interesting. So I think that's because he didn't play last year. I just think that's like the one.
I guess.
Unless you're super running back needy.
Yeah, that's the thing. People just love their running backs. And, you know, and Najee Harris is a, and we talked about him last week, just no offensive line. And I really worry about what his short-term productivity is going to be this year, and they'll ultimately straighten that out. I don't even know what quarterback's going to be in a year. So many question marks surrounding the Steelers.
Chase is the most bankable asset out of the skill players. Maybe not Kyle Pitts, but you're rolling dice if you're taking a running back over Ja'Marr Chase. He's the more valuable long-term asset, I would say.
One pick after Ja'Marr Chase was Jalen Waddle. He's shorter at only 5'10", 182 pounds, but strong for his size and willing to battle for balls, fearless. I still worry a little bit that being 5'10" limits your productivity when they're throwing inside the 10-yard line, where you want those bigger-bodied targets, those big targets that can box out and go beat a guy. And I don't know that Waddle's going to get those kinds of touchdown opportunities, but he's so explosive, he can score from almost anywhere on the field. And he might have been the most explosive athlete in the entire draft at any position, insane acceleration and burst, both at the line of scrimmage and mid-route. if he gets behind the coverage, it's over. Jalen Waddle's gone. So fast, and he turns crossing routes into touchdowns at a crazy clip. I mean, usually you're crossing routes, you're running horizontally across the field, and the play collapses on you. He's just so fast. He gets around everybody, and he's going up the sideline. He's gone. Waddle's he's a sick athlete. So there's a lot to like here. He averaged 10 yards after the catch, was sixth best in the country last year. He is coming off a broken ankle. He only played 971 snaps in college. I should mention he went to the Dolphins at pick six.
And talk about an intriguing group of receivers, not even just wide receivers. Tight end. We're going to know real quick if Tua has what it takes. Because with Waddle and Devontae Parker already there, they just signed Will Fuller, Mike Gesicki.
I mean, that's
a hell of an arsenal.
That's four quality star targets.
And they have a very solid offensive line as well. So
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I'm comparing it to Cincinnati. Everyone's solid against it. We were just talking about the Bengals. But anyway, Tua should get it done with that.
Waddle's the best receiver. He has the upside to be the best receiver by a margin over all of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Young, obviously, paired with Tua. If Tua develops in year two, Waddle's got great long-term upside as well. And I believe he will be a week one starter for this team. Let's go to the 10th selection of the first round. Itty-bitty Devonta Smith goes to the Eagles, Brian.
Yeah, Devonta Smith getting a lot of hate about his BMI, his skinny legs, whatever, however you want to cut that in
168 pounds.
And then there's this video circulating. Have you seen this? Is this like some weird cone drill he was running in practice where he just ran and like kind of awkwardly went down and touched a cone and then someone threw him a ball and he didn't catch it. And it was just like the worst 10 seconds you've ever seen in football. So that's not helping his ADP in fantasy football terms. But Devontae Smith won the Heisman last year as a wide receiver.
Yeah. Doesn't
happen
often.
Insane playmaker. But again, he's playing with the big boys now in the NFL. But I'm not too worried about the BMI so much.
No.
Are you?
No,
yeah, I'm not either. And another guy just like Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle will have a redraft best ball value this year. And when you're talking about his competition with the Eagles and Jalen Reagor or Greg Ward or Travis Fulgham.
He's a week one starter.
He's the
slot.
Yep, from the slot. So and he's getting drafted ahead of all his teammates with Philly, and he's wide receiver 43 right now, right in the Curtis Samuel, Jarvis Landry, Michael Pittman, Michael Gallup group. So immediate expectations for him in redraft best ball and in dynasty. Clearly after Chase, he's right. It's Waddle or Smith, right? At wide receiver two or three.
And I'd rather have Waddle.
And in super flex, they're going to go after the big quarterbacks, of course. Late first round, early second, and you bump them up a little more in one quarterbacks. I think Smith might be the last guy in a one quarterback dynasty league that I'm taking before the quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks go, yeah. That could be. You know, for Smith, a lot of it just hinges on the quarterback position. Can Jalen Hurts pass?
Yeah.
And we don't know the answer to that yet.
Not yet.
Apparently, the Eagles believe he can pass because they've put in all their chips on Jalen Hurts. So, hopefully they're right. And if he can, then Devonta Smith's going to be great there, and he immediately vaults to being the best receiver on the team. The next receiver taken was Kadarius Toney for the Giants. He went in the first round to pick 20. This is the first guy we're pretty down on because the landing spot couldn't have been much worse for Toney. And I don't really understand the selection by the Giants given the big money they put into Kenny Golladay in the offseason, the fact that they still have Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. I don't know how much playing time Tony's going to get. Now, if you're not familiar with him as a player, a favorable comp would be Curtis Samuel because he's kind of a do-everything guy. They even ran him out of the backfield some. They throw to him near the line of scrimmage a lot, bubble screens all the time. He's great in traffic, very explosive, a lot of big plays, very good at yard after catch stuff, great balance. It's just, I don't know. I just think it's going to take maybe years for him to break out of the pack of wide receivers that they've got for the Giants.
Yeah, not a guy I'd be looking for any type of production in redraft best ball this year, that's for sure.
No, I think he's a long-term play. All right, let's go to the next receiver taken in the first round, and that was Rashad Bateman, who falls to 27. At one point, we thought he could go in the teens, and so the Baltimore Ravens find themselves in a spot where they get a very productive player. Only played about half a season for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He opted out of last year. Then he decided to play for several games, and then he decided to opt out after all. He's an elite route runner and probably the best pure route runner in the draft. He's physical. He's not I wouldn't call him a big-bodied receiver, but he's bigger than most, and he battles for contested balls well, uber productive, really good after the catch as well. He feels like every ball in the air belongs to him. And I love the competitiveness that Rashad Bateman brings. And unlike the other Ravens receivers that are these home run guys, these, you know, big gain or bust guys, Bateman's just going to be an every down chain mover. And I think he's going to get a lot of balls his way. It's still going to be a run heavy offense, but I think he will very quickly become the guy who gets the most passes his direction of any of the receivers for Baltimore.
He feels like a guy, even
with Lamar Jackson, who can't throw the ball, apparently, even though he led the NFL in passing touchdowns 2 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, Bateman feels like a guy with a very safe 4 or 5 catch PPR floor on a weekly basis with considerable upside.
Agreed. That rounds out the first round. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the second round receivers, and then after that, the third round receivers. And we're not going to do every rookie receiver because it's too many. But we're doing the top three rounds. Some of these guys just don't matter. Some of them are going to make impacts this year. We'll begin the second round with Elijah Moore going to the Jets when we come back. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Chargin and Brian Johnson with you. We are recapping the teams that selected rookies in the first three rounds of the NFL draft. We've already gone through the first round and all of those players. We turn our attention to the second round and Elijah Moore getting drafted by the Jets, Brian.
Yeah, Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss, 5'9", 185, stereotypical slot receiver. Certainly a weapon, though. 86 catches, nearly 1,200 yards in just 8 games last year. Also had 8 touchdowns. Remembered most maybe from his dog piss celebration that he got flagged for it and ultimately cost them a game, a playoff spot, apparently. But still a great, great wide receiver, especially from the slot, like I said. But the Jets have a pretty good slot receiver right now in Jameson Crowder.
Right, that's the problem.
And Corey Davis and Denzel Mims, not slot receivers, but that's your starting three.
Right, those are the starting three.
Moore not going to see a ton of playing time, one would think, to start the year. So in redraft best ball, he's still getting drafted like as a wide receiver 4. He's in the mid-60s with the aforementioned Sterling Shepard, Nelson Agholor, Rashad Bateman, who we just talked about, Christian Kirk. So he's not getting drafted as a starter, but in best ball, he's got the upside to turn a big play every now and again. But if I'm doing redraft, setting weekly lineups.
Nope. Elijah Moore's out, and
he's a last-round dart, but certainly value, though,
in Dynasty, where you can Empire. Afford to sit on him for a season or two. Crowder probably moves along at some point.
This is probably his last year, and Moore is wide receiver 5, 6 off the board, maybe 7 in Dynasty, but you're looking mid-second-round draft capital, and both one quarterback and Superflex.
Speaking of the mid-second round, that's where we transition from Elijah Moore to Rondell Moore, who may be able to take over the slot receiver spot for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I like his chances of usurping Christian Kirk more than the other Moore usurping Jameson Crowder. But just like the other Moore.
And Larry Fitzgerald.
Is Fitzgerald?
He's not on a team right now.
He's not on the team right now, right. The Vikings should really
start. No.
Come on, that would be fun. Well, homecoming game almost every week. But Rondell Moore, not only just name in size, very similar to Elijah Moore, 5'9", 180. Like you said, well, he'll run out of the slot. He could usurp Christian Kirk. A.J. Green is in Arizona now. We're not too worried about that.
It's a totally different kind of play.
Amazing speed for Moore. Ran a 4.31, second fastest 40 among all wide receivers. He's getting drafted before Elijah Moore.
And he should.
As he should be, but just before him in redraft best ball. I kind of like Elijah Moore long-term in Dynasty Empire, but you're essentially flipping a coin between your Moores when it comes to ADP.
I'd rather have Rondell because I know for a fact he has competent quarterbacking. I can't say that with Elijah Moore. And so that, to me, is part of it. And he's got a clear path to starting time and beginning this year. So I'd rather have Rondell Moore in all formats.
How much would you love the Jets more, all of them, if they took Justin Fields instead of Zach Wilson?
I know.
They really nailed that draft, I thought, outside.
And
we could all be proven wrong.
We don't know yet. I'm not calling him a bust when he hasn't even played a game yet.
Oh.
Okay, let's go to our next receiver up, and that is Dwayne Eskridge, who gets taken by the Seattle Seahawks. He's out of Western Michigan. This was a bit of a surprise to go in the mid-second round when most people thought he was going to go in the fifth round. But the landing spot makes a little more sense, Seattle, because he's a poor man's DK Metcalf. Dwayne Eskridge is absolutely ripped. A wide receiver who can bench 350 pounds. Come on, are you kidding me? That is nuts. He's an incredible athlete, a track star with blazing speed. He's been laser-timed at 4.33, Dwayne Eskridge, on this big, ripped body of his, like DK Metcalf. He's a deep threat, averaging over 20 yards per catch over the past two seasons. He had a very good Senior Bowl, which is important for a small school guy, Western Michigan guy. Some project him to be a slot receiver, but with Seattle, he's not going to be a slot receiver because that's Tyler Lockett. So he probably takes the third receiver job left behind by David Moore's departure. So, and I think he could start early. The catch is this about Dwayne Eskridge. He's just basically a straight line runner. It's just, you know, go route, run straight, run fast. He's not an accomplished route runner yet. He's known for his drops. He doesn't adjust to the ball in the air. I mean, all of the nuances of the position he needs help with, and he needs time. I think Dwayne Eskridge probably is going to be better. Well, he will be better next year than he will be this year. Don't know if he's going to be refined enough to get consistent playing time in his rookie season with Seattle, even though the opportunity is there. And so we're talking about the runway. I mean, he could be a week one starter if you beat out Freddie Swain and Cade Johnson, who went undrafted. That, I mean, that's a very real possibility. So I there are a lot of things I like about Eskridge, but I think he's so raw.
Now remind me, is Josh Gordon re-signed with the Seahawks again? I'm just kidding. I don't
know. Maybe I'm not kidding. I think he's suspended again.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's been done for a while.
Numerous times now. Tutu Atwell went next. Ugh. We're staying in the mid-second round. He goes to the Rams. What do you think of this fit? Josh Reynolds is out. What do you think of this opportunity?
Kind of a head-scratching pick, in my opinion, from a reality perspective. I mean, the Rams had just signed DeSean Jackson, who is at the tail end of his career, of course. Yeah, but,
and good for one game.
But they still have Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Tutu Atwell, by the way, is 5'9", 155. He's just a little guy.
Yeah.
He's like, this is like Tavon Austin reincarnated, and we all know how that turned out, who also was drafted by the Rams, the St. Louis Rams
at the time. But they took him in the middle of the first round.
Well, wasn't it almost like a top 10 pick? I think it was.
It might have been.
Yeah, it's closer to the beginning of the first round, but I don't know. Tutu Atwell. And Van Jefferson, the Rams drafted last year, too. The verdict's still out on him. So absolutely zero redraft best ball value in Tutu Atwell. And I'm not a guy.
He's a slot receiver stuck behind Cooper Kupp.
He's going to be they probably want him in the return game, too, of course. That's where he adds value.
That's a lot of it.
No Tutu for me in fantasy football.
No Atwell. Terrace Marshall is a pick I love for Carolina. And by the way, it's Terrace, not Terrence.
Right. No end.
Long arms, huge catch radius. He's tall and skinny, but we think he's going to fill out over time. A big loping steps that just eat up yards. Terrace Marshall, and I mentioned he went to the Panthers, right? If I didn't, he went to the Panthers. Fast with a natural stride that makes him look and feel like a track star on the field. And one of the best deep ball receivers in this draft. And there are some downsides. He drops some balls. He's not a natural route runner, not very effective on receptions near the line of scrimmage. But, you know, Panthers, he could walk onto a starting job, potentially at least battling with Robbie Anderson for some play in year one. But I think he's more of a long-term option. DJ Moore is obviously cemented into place, but he is a lot like a Robbie Anderson type. I just don't know if at all this season he just beats out Robbie Anderson, because the skill set's so similar to what Robbie Anderson already does.
Yeah, the potential is there.
I'm
excited for this Panthers offense. And
I'm a believer in Sam Darnold, by the way. I think Darnold's going to be much better.
I'm buying. And I'm stacking with many weapons of his, especially Dan Arnold.
Oh, God.
That's why.
I had to come back to Dan Arnold.
Always comes back to Dan Arnold.
Yep, sooner or later. The next player taken, we begin in the third round with Josh Palmer going to the Chargers. We're going to tell you a little bit more about his game when we come back in just moments. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. We are through the first two rounds of the rookie wide receivers, their landing spots, their value in redraft and dynasty. How long we think it'll take for them to become contributors, if at all. We're through the first two rounds. We now move to the third round. The first wide receiver taken was Josh Palmer by the Chargers. So here's the weird thing. And the Chargers, they do need more bodies at wide receiver. And especially when you've got a great young quarterback and you put all this effort into improving the offensive line, which I love. And I think the Chargers are going to be so much better offensively this year. But they got a low-volume player from Tennessee and Josh Palmer, who's never caught more than 34 balls in a season. And you're really banking on him having the traits of a more productive receiver than what he's shown so far. And I think it's going to take time for him to get there. He's super raw. He ran mostly vertical routes at Tennessee and very few other routes, not known for having a lot of moves in his arsenal. He does have ideal size. He's got a thick upper body, just okay speed, although Tennessee used him as a deep threat, but he's only a 4.5 speed receiver. So I think Palmer's, it's kind of a mystifying pick. They've got some other depth receivers that had nice moments last year.
Jalen Guyton.
Jalen Guyton in the slot. Tyron Johnson had some moments last year. Yep. I don't think he passes those guys this year. I think he's buried on the depth chart for at least a year. Josh Palmer, to me, is only a deep league dynasty empire option. You've got, you know, if you've got 23 roster spots, then I think you could stash him and hope that someday he flourishes with a great young quarterback. The next receiver taken in the third round was Dyami Brown, who ended up going to Washington, where he has the opportunity to make a quick impact.
Yeah, Brown out of North Carolina, 6 feet, 185 pounds. When we first touched on receivers a month or two ago, he kind of viewed him more as a project, but I really like the landing spot for Brown, who
I do too.
He's really a straight line runner too. That's where he thrived in college. He had the highest ADOT, average depth of target in all of college football, averaged 20 yards per catch, had some issues with drops. Scout said he runs a limited route tree, but he's going to thrive on the outside for somebody, and he will enhance that route tree over time. And Terry McLaurin, of course, cemented as the primary receiver in Washington. But
after that,
Curtis Samuel, we love, but he's a guy that's not he's not going to be planted on. They're going to move him all over the place, use him. And then it's Adam Humphries.
Also a slot guy.
Also a slot guy. Steven Sims Jr., also a slot guy. And then there's Cam Sims, who is just
a guy.
Just a guy. So I'm higher on Brown than I was a couple months ago, and a guy who I would really like in best ball, especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing the ball.
He's I like a great that combo, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Fitzpatrick's known for his YOLO passing stylings, right? Just let her rip downfield. And Brown has the speed to get under some of those balls, and you're probably right that best ball is the perfect format for him, because more often than not, as a rookie, he's not going to be on the field enough and catch enough of these deep passes, but every third or fourth game, I could see Brown making an impact.
Yeah, he's getting drafted in the mid-80s among wide receivers in best ball, right with DeSean Jackson, who is the
same thing, but
perfect best ball target, even though he gets hurt most of the time. But I'm intrigued by Brown. And Dynasty, a guy who I'll be targeting in the early to mid-third rounds, I think he'll turn into a fine receiver one day.
Also in the middle of the third round, the Packers went with A. Rodgers, not Aaron. Amari Rodgers. Tell people about him. We've been looking for them to draft somebody to that they could develop with some real talent and upside at receiver, which they never draft. This is a third round pick for the Packers at receiver is considered massive equity.
Yeah, Amari Rodgers, another stereotypical slot receiver, 5'10", 212, and stereotypical slot receivers are something that have usually been in Green Bay, but really they haven't had one for a while. It's not Alan Lazard. Marquez Valdez, Scantling.
Not really.
And so outside of Devontae Adams, of course, who's not their slot receiver, Rodgers, I'm intrigued by this landing spot for him. But again, in redraft, it's tough to peg production on a rookie if you're going to put confidence in him to put him in your starting lineup. But a best ball target I like, actually getting drafted right ahead of Dyami Brown. So he's right in that that best ball range that could pay off, pop off on a few weeks. And I don't know. In Dynasty, though, again, I'm not really, unless it's Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, they're enticing slot guys. Amari Rodgers in Dynasty, I don't know.
It'll be a bit of a project, and obviously it'll help a lot if Aaron Rodgers is there. The last good slot receiver in Green Bay was Jordy Nelson. Am I forgetting somebody?
Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Randall Cobb had his moments. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It wasn't Jordy Nelson, but yes. There was one point, there was one offseason where Jordy Nelson was like a top five fantasy wide receiver.
You could have said the top. He had a couple of years.
Maybe.
Top three, for sure.
He was hyper productive with Aaron Rodgers. The next wide receiver taken in the third round was Nico Collins to the Texans. So let's talk him out. He was a 2020 opt-out, unfortunately, because he probably could have been helped by some newer tape. But he's a bigger physical receiver, uses his upper body to get some separation. He's got a little shiftiness, which is not typical of a 220-pound receiver, but with enough downfield speed to get some separation. Very good at contested catches, like a lot of big-bodied receivers. Very long arms. He's in the 97th percentile of arm length for Nico Collins. Most of the rest of what I've got to say, though, is not necessarily positive. He did struggle against better Big Ten cornerbacks. He's slow to build up his speed like a lot of bigger-bodied receivers can be. And he didn't do a ton after the catch. He doesn't have blazing speed where he just pulled away from defenses. He generally got caught and tackled after the catch. So let's talk about the landing place in Houston. He can compete early for the other outside wide receiver spot opposite Brandon Cooks.
When I think landing, sorry to cut you off, landing place in Houston these days, I just think of like a spaceship just like crashing. That's how you land in Houston.
Like that. That's right. Houston, we have a problem.
Many problems.
To be a starter opposite Cooks, and he's an outside receiver, he just needs to beat out the combination of Andre Roberts, Chris Conley, and Dante Moncrief. You know, keep in mind, Kiki Cutie mostly plays a slot, so that's not a threat. So, yeah, I mean, that's – Nico Collins is a sneaky late play. Now, who his quarterback could be, God only knows, because right now they've got four potential week one starters on roster.
Who's the four? I mean, Watson, of course.
Watson, Tyrod, Taylor.
Davis Mills.
Who's the fourth? They just signed a guy this week.
That could maybe start?
Yes.
Oh.
Jeff Driscoll signed this week.
Driscoll.
And you know, we're missing. I think they have another one, too. I don't have their depth chart in front of me. I think they have another quasi-journeyman starter that I'm forgetting for the Texans. So some combination of those guys, hopefully some of them can provide Nico
Johnny
Collins.
Manziel?
No.
Okay. Not Johnny. They're not that desperate just yet.
Our final receiver that we'll talk about as we've gone through, I think we have either 14 or 16 receivers that through our list here. We're finishing out the third round. Anthony Schwartz goes to the Cleveland Browns. I think this is a little bit sneaky if you're like me and you don't think Odell Beckham's going to be there for long. Talk to me about Anthony Schwartz.
He's very, very fast.
Yes,
he ran a 4.25 40, the fastest
that's
among
Olympic track speed.
Any prospect, any position in this year's draft class. Out of Clemson, Auburn, 6 feet, 185, decent size. He's built like Odell Beckham, but in terms of return this year, yes. If Beckham leaves, if they somehow trade him or
not this year.
It's not gonna be this year.
Yeah.
But
I don't think Odell's on the roster next year.
Very good chance of that happening. But, yeah, so based on the speed alone, mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by his long-term prospects. He clearly has issues probably with drops, route running, mm-hmm. everything else that goes with being a wide receiver, but he's fast as hell, and that's very, very intriguing. But when it comes to this year with Beckham in tow, Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins, they like Donovan Peoples-Jones there, even Kadarrell Hodge showed flashes. So he's got to work his way onto the field for sure. He's a... doesn't want to be known as just a speed guy, but that's what he's going to be known as this year, at the very least.
I think you're right. Anthony Schwartz is a long-term developmental guy, but and Baker Mayfield doesn't have a cannon, right? So we think of these fast, vertical track star guys, the Willie Gaults of the world, for those of us that are old enough to remember him, as guys you just periodically throw bombs at and, you know, hope that they get under it and actually catch the ball. That's not Baker's game. Unleashing bombs.
No, it's not.
So I don't know that that's, you know, that's a perfect fit for him, but I still think there's a pathway to him getting time. Rashard Higgins can be beat. Hodge can be beat. Peoples-Jones can be beat out. So, I mean, there's a pathway for Anthony Schwartz.
Yeah, when you get into your rookie draft or even your startup drafts, I would lean Schwartz just on this speed upside. I would take him over the guys that were drafted in real life before him, like the Nico Collins we were talking about, mm-hmm. Amari Rodgers, Josh Palmer, Tutu Atwell, definitely. So yeah. Schwartz is a guy I'll be looking at in the late third, early fourth of my dynasty drafts.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. We encourage you to also subscribe to our sister podcast, Chop, our Guillotine League podcast. We enjoy that one as well. And Chop's getting primed to get up and running for yes. the football season here.
It's
so
percolating.
It is. It's percolating. We're looking forward to CHOP as well. So thank you for joining us. Appreciate everybody that made it through all whatever 15 guys that we just covered, the rookies we just covered. You made it to the end. Well done. And we'll talk to you next week where we'll talk about some of the rookie tight ends. In addition to Kyle Pitts, there's a couple notables and some of the other salient topics from around the world of fantasy football. Bye, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.